All right. Good morning and good afternoon to everybody. We've got people in the room. We have people on Zoom. And we're just so glad that we're all here together. Marcia, welcome. Are you there? Yeah, there she is. Hello. How are you doing? Doing well. Okay. It's good to have you. And it's good to be together in this format with you. Let's go ahead and open with prayer and we will kick this quarter off. Lord, thank you for the privilege of gathering to Jesus and to sit at his feet and to be able to just be in the scriptures and just to be there and to prepare our hearts for the Spirit of God to reveal the word. We ask for the Spirit to be the real teacher today. Lord, we're all students here when it comes to Jesus, and I just pray that you will have the freedom, Lord, to move the way you see fit, quietly or overtly or however. But we give this hour to you. Just lead this class this quarter into the things of your heart and into the things that the students will need to develop a relationship with you in the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hello, Mike Wallace. Hello, Francine. Hello, Mom and Dad. And hello, Bia. It's nice that you're all here with us today. And, you're with us in our hearts, even closer than with us on Zoom. So we're glad to have you. We're going to be going through a lot of scripture today. This is an introduction lesson to kind of give us a sense of what we're going to be looking at. It's just groundwork and a frame of reference going forward. So, like I said, lots of scriptures today. I might even like it if some people are willing to help me do a little bit of reading in the scriptures because it's nice to break it up and not just have the teacher all the time. So the purpose of this is for you not to remember it all or be able to parrot it all back. The purpose is we're painting a big picture, but we have to use lots of verses all over the Bible to get a sense overall of what the scriptures say about prophets and prophecy. And then we're building kind of like a scaffolding or a structure, and then the major prophets are going to fit right into that structure to help us understand them a little bit better. Okay? All right, slide 4. What is a prophet? What is your image that you conjure up when someone says a prophet from the Old Testament? What is it that you think of? Well, oftentimes it's an image of some poor old guy all alone on a rock and his hair blowing in the wind, and he's dramatically declaring the word of the Lord. Or maybe it's somebody who rebukes a lot. There's a lot of rebuking and negativity in some of those books of the prophets, isn't there? And that can be a little scary. And that is partly true, but it's not the whole truth, that there is an element of that. Also, one of our ideas of a prophet is they talk about the end times a lot. And I'm not there yet. Scott, please. Thanks. They talk about the end times a lot. And we have a new person on PowerPoint, so he's learning back there. We're bearing with him. So. And so it all sounds kind of sensational and crazy, especially if you listen to some folks who are interpreting prophets in light of end times events. Things get really wild. So that's also a view we have of prophets, okay? And it's partly true. I mean, anyone ever read Ezekiel chapter 1? Whoa. So it's partly true, but only partly true. Okay, we're going to try and rectify that a bit. Okay, and hopefully that will happen today, but as we go through. All right, there is a Hebrew word for prophet. It is nabi. I guess in our alphabet it would be nabi. And it means to bubble forth as a fountain. Okay, so a prophet is someone who has the word of God bubbling up in them and spilling out. So that's one image. I'm not there yet. Who pours forth God's declarations and bubbles forth and spills out. Well, yeah, I apologize. Let me backtrack. I was there, Scott. Thank you. Scott's trying to keep pace with me, and so we're going to learn, he and I are going to learn a new system here. So pray for us to flow together. He's doing a good job back there. Sorry to call you out in front of everybody in the class. That's sometimes a little difficult. So, love you, brother. Okay, a prophet's someone who bubbles out. So let's look at 2 Peter 1:21. And I'm wondering, while we're turning there, if there is somebody who could look up Acts chapter 10:38. And I'm also wondering if there would be somebody who would be willing to look up James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. And I'm looking at people on Zoom for this as well, because we don't have enough people in the room to cover a lot of the scriptures. So if you're willing to participate, jump in. If not, nobody's obligated. Okay, we will read 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Okay, so someone doesn't just decide, I want to be a prophet when I grow up. Okay, I kind of feel that might be a calling. No, the Lord is very distinct that he moves on people in this function, especially in the Old Covenant scriptures. God initiates the office of prophet. God initiates the office of prophet. That's number one. That's the first one. Next one is, and I'll tell you when, Scott, a prophet is a seer. He is not just somebody who bubbles out. He's somebody who sees. He sees something that nobody else sees. He has vision of God, and he sees as God sees. Next slide. Does somebody have Acts chapter 10:38 who could read for us? Oh, Isaac, you do. Wonderful. If you would read verses 38 through 40 and verse 43. Can they hear him, Lindsay, or does he need to come up here to read?
I'm happy to go up there. That's easier. I'll just go.
Thank you. I didn't warn the sound team, so whenever you do something different and they don't know.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. To him all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins.
Thank you very much. So what I want to show there is that the disciples bore witness of Jesus when he was a man and walked on the earth, but it also said that the prophets were also a witness of Jesus. Did you catch that in that last verse? The disciple, and we think of, oh yeah, the disciples were witnesses. That was part of what they were there for, is to be a witness. Okay? But then we also have the prophets bearing witness, but they weren't there when Jesus was alive. They were bearing witnesses because they were seers. Okay? So a prophet has to see something in the spirit beyond what's just going on in the room that you're in or in your life. Okay? That's the next one. Okay, the next thing, he's someone who pours forth God's declarations. He's a seer. And slide 7, the prophet is a sign. Now, this one I haven't heard too many people say, but I keep saying this over and over again. A prophet bears an image to the people he's called to minister to. He bears an image. So I want to read James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. And is there somebody perhaps on Zoom who has already turned to this verse?
Oh,
Marcia. Hi, Marcia. Could you read that for us?
Yes.
Thanks.
Brothers and sisters, be example of patience in the face of suffering. Thank the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we have this blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally did. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy.
Okay, I didn't quite catch if you read this part, Marcia, so let me know if you read something like this, that the prophet spoke in the name of the Lord and they were an example of suffering. Did you read that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, thank you. I didn't quite catch that part. They didn't only speak stuff. Prophets suffered affliction and patience, is what my translation says. And then it goes on to say, we count them happy who endure. Okay, so the prophets didn't only sit on a mountaintop, get really cool revelations, come down and get to share cool stuff, and everyone go, whoa, that's really amazing. And he can go, oh, yes, I'm very close to the Lord, yes. No, no, they were actually suffering while they were delivering the word and during their life and their function and office as a prophet in the time God was using them. Amazing. And that's part of being a prophet, okay? And that we're going to come back to that again and again. It's really important to just tuck that away, because I personally believe that we see that with Jesus, and we definitely also do see that with Paul, who said that, I didn't have a chance to look up the verse, but it said that somewhere in one of the Corinthian epistles, I think, that everything that he went through, all of the sufferings, all of the persecution, all of the poverty he went through, was proof of his apostleship. The proof of his apostleship wasn't how many converts he had or how many churches he raised up. It was the amount of affliction and suffering he endured for the gospel. So there is this combination of being in an office or being in some kind of a ministry for the Lord and the affliction that comes with it. That's the proof and the sign. And so we'll understand that a little bit better as we go. All right, let's see. So I want to show us as we move forward here. And I know it's a lot of scripture today, but we're just laying the groundwork. I hope it's not too boring for you. For me, it's very interesting. We want to look at these three guys, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and how they were a sign. How is a prophet a sign? In what way is he a sign? Okay, so let's see. No slides for a little bit here. I've got a few things I'm going to say without slides. Over in Isaiah 8:18, and I'll read these to give people a break. Isaiah 8:18. If you hold your place there, and I'm going to read two other verses in Isaiah, and you just stay at 8:18. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And then Isaiah 8, verses 3 and 4. I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then the Lord said to me, call his name Maher Shalal Hashbaz. Okay, so there's two sons. He has two sons. Over in Isaiah 8:18, where you guys turned, it says, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel. Okay? So Isaiah's family were a sign. His sons were manifestations of something of the spiritual condition of what was going on in Israel at the time. So that is one way that a prophet is a sign. Jeremiah 16, 1 through 4. The word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land, they shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. Okay, so Jeremiah was a sign that this was the last generation that was going to live in the land. And the way he was a sign is that he was to remain unmarried. Well, that would be taking a hit, wouldn't you say? Most people want to be married, and for all kinds of good reasons, not the least of which the Lord has blessed that, you know, covenant relationship. But Isaiah was to take a loss, and his solitude in life was a sign to the Jews of what was coming, okay? Not really deep, but it's good to see signs, okay? Then finally, Ezekiel 24:15 through 24. So like I said, they're taking real sacrifices for the Lord. They're not just speaking things and then kind of going about happy lives. They're bearing their message in their bodies. Ezekiel 24, verse 15. Also the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shalt thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thy head upon thee, put thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips. Eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. And the people said unto me, Wilt thou not tell us what these things are to us, that thou doest so? Then I answered them, The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Speak unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the excellency of your strength, the desire of your eyes, and that which your soul pitieth, and your sons and your daughters whom you have left shall fall by the sword, and ye shall do as I have done. Ye shall not cover your lips nor eat the bread of men, and your tires shall be upon your heads, and your shoes upon your feet. Ye shall not mourn nor weep, but ye shall pine away for your iniquities and mourn one toward another. Thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign. According to all that he hath done, ye shall do. And when this cometh, ye shall know that I am the Lord God. So Ezekiel's wife died suddenly of some unknown situation, but he was in his 30s about now. So that wasn't, it was a tragic death. It was not like she had lived a long life. And he was not to mourn her death. Well, that would be hard, wouldn't you say? That goes more than just sitting on a mountaintop and seeing a revelation, wouldn't you say? Think about if you were in that position and how that would feel and how would you carry that out? The amount of, I don't want to say willpower, but fortitude in the Lord to be able to conform to the wishes of the Lord and be with him in that and follow through and not mourn your wife's death. That would be rough, I would say. I would think it would be rough, but he's a sign. So he's embodying something. And that's my point. I don't want to interpret the depths of the sign and what they mean, but there's some suffering and affliction involved in here, and it's a sign. Okay? All right. Let's go ahead and put up slide 8. We're going to look at something that's called the prophet. The prophet. Now, this is a very interesting passage of scripture. It's over in Deuteronomy 18, 17 through 19. Moses is talking to Israel long before they get in the land. And this little passage of scripture is referred to in the New Testament. I found 5, maybe 6 times. It's by different people groups and in different books of the Bible. It's that important to the Jews, okay? So let's read Deuteronomy 18, 17 through 19, and we're wondering, what is the prophet? Okay? And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Okay, so this is talking about, Moses is talking about a prophet who is to come, okay, that is called the prophet. It's called the prophet in many places. Okay, the prophet is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one true prophet. Now, if you want to look at where these references are in the New Testament, if that's interesting to you, the Gospel of John and the Book of Acts together have at least 5, maybe 6 references to this verse right here. And I'm wondering, is this that prophet that was spoken that is to come? And then when they're preaching in Acts, this is that prophet of which it was said. So this is just something to open to you guys. We're not just talking about prophets. Prophets came from somewhere. Jesus is the prophet. Well, I thought he was the fulfillment of all prophecy. Well, he is, but he's also the prophet. He's the one true everything. Okay, so in what way is Jesus not only a prophet, but the prophet? How could that be? And how, I mean, if he's the prophet, then obviously all other prophets are either little illustrations of him, a shadow of him, a representation of him, or something, or functioning in something that is him. Has to be. And that makes prophets important on a different front. It's not just, oh, it's the prophets. We want to handle it as though it's something that comes from the Lord, not just people who say stuff. Again, not just people who say stuff. So, slide 9. Next slide. How was Christ like Moses? Jesus was the prophet. He is like him. Because it says he's going to raise up a prophet like unto me. I think it says it right there. Did it say right there? Well, it says it over in verse 15, I guess, in Deuteronomy 18. It says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall you hearken. Okay, so how was he like Moses? Let's go to John 1:18. John 1:18. Yes, please, slide 10. Is there someone who would like to read this verse? Okay, go ahead, Isaac. Yes. And where the question we're asking is, how is Christ like Moses?
No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him.
So there was two things in that verse. Thanks, Isaac. There are two components in that verse. The Son saw God, so he's a seer, right? The Son declares God. That bubbles forth, right? It bubbles out. That's the nabi, or however you say that word. It bubbles up. He's a proclaimer, by a fountain that bubbles up from within. So Jesus, as we know, then fulfills at least two of our qualifications. He declares the word of God. He is the word of God, but he also declares the word of his Father, and he sees God, the only one who does. So in one sense, he's the only true prophet. We also know all the way through the Gospel of John, Jesus said things like, the words that I speak, they aren't mine. They're the Father's. Okay? They're the Father's. So that means that he is declaring the word of another. He's not speaking, well, I'm the Son of God, so whatever I say is of God. He's not doing that. He's humbled himself and become a vessel of his Father. So that's a prophetic trait. We also know that he was a sign. In what way was Jesus a sign? He hung on a cross, didn't he? He died. He died. It was our redemption. It was what brought us into union. But it was also a sign to us. You're dead. You know, your life is hid with Christ in God. And when he was raised by the Father, by the Spirit to the Father, that's a sign. You're in him. We don't feel it, we don't experience it, but we look at that and know what's true of us. Just like the people in Ezekiel's time looked at how Ezekiel lost his wife and didn't mourn and knew that that was the end that was going on for them too. Okay, he was a sign. All right, go ahead and throw up the next slide. A couple other things that aren't mentioned in that passage in Deuteronomy of how Jesus is like Moses. He also wrought a great deliverance for his people. Moses took him out of Egypt. Jesus bought us out of the world, didn't he? Okay. Moses suffered at the hands of the people, was persecuted regularly and spoken against, as Jesus suffered at the hands of humanity. Moses brought forth the old covenant, and Jesus brought forth the new covenant. So it is a prophet like unto Moses. In many, many ways, Jesus can be compared to Moses. In many, many ways, he can't. But there's some pretty strong parallels there for us to just maybe meditate on. Okay? So that is the prophet. And we're not going to get really into how Jesus is the prophet any more than that. But I would say, slide 12, that if this area you went, oh, Jesus is a prophet, what does that mean? And how does that affect me? And if that's something that stirs in your heart, search out Jesus as a prophet in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, where it's very prevalent. And the search will amaze you. And you will be amazed at how much is there that maybe you never realized was there. I know it blew me away, because we don't emphasize that in our local fellowship. This is not an area that we talk about or look at in the scriptures. But oh my goodness, it was like dozens of references about Jesus being a prophet. Dozens. And when this, you know, if you've been in any of my classes, you know, if the Spirit of God wants us to know something, then he repeats it in the scriptures a lot. Okay. So it's a good way to enter into a new relationship with the Lord, is to know him as prophet. Okay. Moving on to our next little piece, we're kind of building our framework or our groundwork here. We've got, let's see, what have we gone over so far, just to recap. I know it's not the most exciting class. Thank you for staying with me, and I hope some of these scriptures are going to stir some things for you. We looked at what is a prophet, and we saw the different elements. We looked at the prophet. There is one true prophet. And now we're going to look at the function of a prophet, and maybe we can get some help looking up some verses. Let's see, Marcia, would you be willing to look up Isaiah 58:1?
Yes.
Thank you. Scott, are you available to look up a verse back there, or are your hands too full?
I can look one up.
Would you look up Ezekiel 33:7?
Sure.
Isaac Hunter, could you look up Isaiah 41-2? And is there somebody on Zoom, and no pressure if there's not, but if there's someone who's willing to look up Jeremiah 33:15-16. Jeremiah 33:15-16. And we're going to see if we can get through these pretty quick. Let's see. Okay. Marcia, go ahead and read Isaiah 58:1.
Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their rebellion, and to the descendants of Jacob their sins.
Okay, so slide 14. A prophet is called of God to confront people over their sins. It's one of the things they're supposed to do. Not everyone's supposed to do that. It's not just a Christian's job, but a prophet is called of God to do that. Okay, Ezekiel 33:7. What do you have, Scott? Okay, here comes Scott to read for us. He's behind the camera today, but here he comes. You get to see his face.
So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them from me.
Thank you, Scott. Now he's going to get run up there and throw up the next slide. And the next slide says... A prophet is supposed to sound the warning of coming judgment. Judgment is on the way, okay? See, this is the thing with prophets. Prophets didn't have a formula, and they didn't have, like, closely detailed instructions of how to behave like the priests did. You know, wash yourself, put on the right clothes, lay your hand on the sacrifice, cut its throat on the north side of the altar, catch the blood in the thing, you know, flay it this way, put the organs up there, put skin over there. You know, there was an incredible amount of detail. With the prophet, it's just someone is raised up of God to declare his word, and that's it. So it can look pretty freewheeling. I mean, that's why prophets tend to be very colorful characters, and priests we don't know too much about. So I think it's because they're not quite as exciting as prophets and a prophet's ministry. But they are here to sound the warning of coming judgment, and in our case, captivity, in the case of the southern kingdom, dispersion, as in the case of the northern kingdom under Assyria. So that's what they're here. And so the point being that it's a very fluid office. It's not like a priest that does this and does that and washes this and he's there on that day and he does this in the morning, he does this in the evening and this on the new moon. No. A prophet was called of God. He was specifically a fluid minister because God would raise up prophets when his people were getting outside of the bounds of where he wants them to be in their hearts. When they start leaving and dispersing, then God starts calling his prophets out. Declare, you know, blow the trumpet, call the people back to me, tell them to repent. It's that feel. That was their flow. And so there was a lot of flow. They were very fluid. And so you have, you know, through the scripture, you have prophets who were descendants of kings. You have prophets who were farmers. You have prophets who were priests. You have prophets, we don't know where they came from because it doesn't say. We just have, they're just, it's anyone God wants to get a hold of and use. Some of them had super long ministries and they wrote books. Some of them are nameless, and they just meet a king by the side of the road and say one thing, and they disappear off the pages of the Bible. They're all his prophets. Amazing. So it actually kind of breathes life into the nation in a way. It's really fascinating. Okay, so that's to warn of coming judgment. The next verse we have is Isaiah 41 through 2. Oh, we've got Isaac Hunter coming up to the microphone. Thank you, Isaac.
All right. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins.
Thank you. Well, that's a different feel. That was like an about face from the first two verses, wasn't it? It has a whole different, even just reading it without any, like, anyone sharing on what it means, could everybody feel the spirit of it was fully different? Like something got released that was deep comfort and like the acceptance of the Lord and gathering in. Okay, next slide, please. The purpose of a prophet is to declare comfort and pardon, not just to rebuke of sins and warn that they're going into captivity. Well, that's beautiful, isn't it? You can see how the prophets have a very diverse ministry. It's whatever the Lord wants to say. They're there, aren't they? Okay, so they do that. And then the final verse, is there somebody on Zoom that did look up Jeremiah 33, 15 and 16?
I can do it now.
Oh, thanks, Mom. Go ahead.
In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
All right, thanks, Mom. Okay, so the last point in the function of a prophet, slide 17, is to show God's ultimate vision and purpose for Israel. He brings their vision, the vision he has for them in his heart, back into view, okay? And many times, this includes a lot of what is called the messianic prophecies, or sometimes it's called like the millennial prophecies. We're not gonna get into that kind of stuff, but it shows the vision of where God wants it to be. So the people are off. Here comes the prophet. Repent, repent, repent. You know, the people don't repent, let's say. You're going into captivity. I've got to deal with this generation and take it out because they're not flowing with me. But don't worry, you're coming back. See, comfort and pardon. And finally, this is where it's going to all end up. Even if it takes a long time and it's not right now, this is where the Lord's headed. This is his heart. That's the fourth point. It was his heart before, it's his heart right now. It was his heart all in between when the judgment was coming down. This was his heart. Okay, so these are the realms in which the prophet labored in the word of God, in all of these areas. Okay, let's move into our very last section and we can begin to wrap up our class for today. The last one in slide 18 is understanding prophecy. Okay, so how do we understand prophecy? Well, that's the $64,000 question, isn't it? Because if you go online or to a Christian bookstore, if you can find one, and you want to understand, let's say you want to understand the book of Ezekiel. No, we'll just make it interesting. You want to understand the book of Daniel. Okay, as many books are on the shelf or on Amazon or in that used bookstore online, about Daniel is as many interpretations as you're going to get on what he's talking about. And most of it's going to be end times kind of stuff. And there can't be one school of thought about it. Everybody's looking at something different. So if the experts who can labor in original languages and have spent their whole life laboring the scriptures can't agree, how are regular folks who just love the Lord but are simple in these matters, how do we come to a satisfactory understanding of what's going on in the Word of God? You know, I can't tell you how many introductions of books I've read where the person who wrote, let's say, a book on the book of Daniel was heartfelt and said, I went back to the Lord. I decided not to listen to any commentators. I just want to see what the Word of God said, and that's what this book is about. And it doesn't agree with another book where the guy says the exact same thing in the introduction or something to that effect. So my point is not to complain. My point is, the prophets are not easily understood. So what we're going to try to do in this class is give a breakdown of the books on an informational level, but we're also going to look for Jesus, because we all agree on that, okay? We'll all agree on seeing Jesus. So let's see, understanding prophecy. How are we going to understand prophecy? Well, for our purposes, what I'm going to tell us is that prophecy has a threefold interpretation. Any passage in the prophets can be understood in one of three ways, and it's okay to understand it in these ways. Slide 19, number one, prophecy reveals Christ. First and foremost, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. This is 1 Peter 1. I think it's, am I supposed to be at 1 Peter 1? Yes. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what person or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Okay, that's a mouthful. There's a lot there. But if you could get the gist, which is the prophets were speaking of the cross, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, death, burial, and resurrection. And it was trying to understand this salvation and this grace. So they were seeing it. They were prophesying of it. Didn't fully understand themselves what they were saying, but they were speaking of him. They were not speaking of topics. They were speaking of him. Okay, so that's what I want us to understand. Number one, the entire book of books of prophecy speak of Christ. Not just Isaiah 53. Not just Jeremiah 33. I believe that every stitch of the scriptures, Genesis to Revelation, speaks of Christ. And if you plant yourself there and ask the Lord to know him that way in the word, you can't go wrong. If he leads you into other emphases for different purposes, that's fine. But, you know, let's look for Jesus. Let's get our eyes filled with the Lord. Amen. Why should the prophets be any different? Don't let the eschatology or the end times bent of either the prophets themselves or those who labor in the prophets throw you off or scare you. Just go in with a simple, open heart and say, Jesus, I want to know you. You know, I want to know you. And don't be afraid. So another way that the prophecy can be interpreted, slide 20, is a personal dealing from the Lord. The Lord is talking to you personally. He's dealing with you about something. 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17 says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, doesn't say the major prophets, but it does say all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable. It didn't say for seeing Christ. Look what it says. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we search the scriptures for Christ, and we're going to see Christ in the prophets. But the Lord can use these passages of scripture to deal with you in areas personally that he wants to talk to you, to get you back in line, correction, reproof, kind of help you bring you into balance, you know, to teach you all manner of things pertaining to the kingdom, you know, ways of ministry, ways of dealings with others, how to let Christ live in you. I mean, anything. And instruction in righteousness, okay? So there's a personal element to the scriptures and therefore to the major prophets. And finally, slide 21, prophecy actually does relate to or deal with something happening in the earth. There is a time and space frame of reference to all prophecy, or it's not prophecy. So what we're going to find, especially in Jeremiah and also in Ezekiel, a little in Daniel, is that whatever prophecy was coming out was tied to the moment in time that they were living in many times. Not always, but many, many times. Whatever was happening right here, the Lord was speaking to those people right there. And so you can understand the prophecy and help it, it helps you interpret what Jeremiah or Ezekiel means based on what is going on. Now, when you get into, you know, Isaiah 40 through 66, he's like off in eternal, I don't know what. So not so much tied to the earth, it's very eternal, and we'll look at that. But I find that that helps in my study of the prophets, because I'm like, oh, okay, this was the king that was ruling, and this is, you know, this is what was going on with the foreign powers, and oh, this is what the people were doing. Instead of going to the Lord, they were turning to other countries or something, and then you understand more what's going on, and the Lord can then speak in that realm. So threefold interpretation, spirit, soul, and body, right? Spirit, soul, and body, which flows, it all flows down. Okay, let's see. Let's look at a few final verses. Oh, before I do that, also just as an aside, in that Deuteronomy 18 passage that we looked at, it's all about prophets and the qualifications for a prophet ministering in Israel after Moses is gone. And one of the things of how to determine whether someone was a true prophet or a false prophet was if what they said came true. All right. So there has to be a time element involved for that to be the case. It has to be something that is predicted and comes true. Not all prophecy is predictive, but it is one of the tests of a true prophet. And we're also going to see that false prophets are a problem in Israel. And that is tied to false teachers being a problem in the church today in some of the New Testament epistles. So there are those who claim to have the office, but their spirit is another spirit. And we'll look at that. Okay, so let's look at some final verses in closing. Let's go to slide 22. And we will be emphasizing in our class Christ being revealed in the scriptures. Okay, we're not going to look at personal dealings, and we're not going to look at the historical aspect quite so much. And I know it's 11 right now, but we started a little late. We're going to read these verses and then we're going to close. Luke 24, 25 through 27. Let's go there. Luke 24, 25 through 27. Jesus is on the road to Emmaus with two disciples, but the disciples don't know it's Jesus yet. They're walking along, and Jesus, the raised Jesus, is talking to them. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Okay? So in the prophets, Jesus used the prophets to show himself in his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay. Kind of just says it. So that gives us a good framework going. We're not just trying to take what we believe and make it fit. We believe that we have a good cause from the scriptures, that Christ is revealed in all the scriptures. Okay, let's look at Matthew 25, 56. Matthew 25, 56. Well, that's a typo.
Is it?
I'm in Matthew 25.
56.
Matthew 25 only goes to 46.
Oh, no, 26:56.
Is it 26:56?
Yeah, 26:56.
Oh, that's because I'm reading it wrong. Okay, 26:56. Thank you, Scott. But all this was done, meaning the crucifixion, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Right? So we are on good solid ground going forward, aren't we, in the Lord? And let's look at finally close out our closing verse. And this is our kind of my theme and the scripture in my heart for our class this quarter, Revelation 19:10. I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay? Prophecy comes from God. So anything, this is important, anything of prophecy is true right now. Whatever we read in the scriptures is eternal. So whatever the reality is behind the words, it's true right now, okay? Prophecy tends to be read as something that is to be understood about the future, and that is true in part. As believers, we tend to apply a lot of it to end times kind of things. There is an element of truth to this. This is not untrue, okay? But I think we miss a lot when that is all we see. If it speaks of Jesus, it is spirit and life, and it's true right now, right? If it speaks of Jesus, it's spirit and life, and it's true right now. Allowing the spirit to open prophecy in its spiritual element will bring life and conformity to the image of the Son. Ours is a now faith. Whatever you believe, it applies to you now. And that's how we want to handle the prophets in this class, okay? It's whatever's true of Jesus is true of us now, and that's the Jesus we're going to go for, all right? All right, I hope that wasn't too boring for you. I hope that wasn't too... I don't like classes like that. I like it to be exciting with life, but this is what the Lord has for us right here. I'm trusting that He will fill it with what He wants to fill it with, and we're going to go forward from there. Next week, we're going to look at some of the history and the geography surrounding the times of the prophets and some of the timelines, and then we will jump into Isaiah. And with that next week, we'll have lots of charts and diagrams and maps, and we'll be able to kind of visualize what's going on and who's prophesying when and who's alive when and who's the superpowers and how much land they conquered. And I don't know, I like those images because it helps me remember and it helps me to tie things. So we'll do a little bit of that, and I hope that you will find that enjoyable. Let's close. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the wonderful brothers and sisters who have been on with us today. Thank you for their patience in the scriptures and being willing to just labor through here. Lord, you're the real teacher. I'm not the teacher. I can't impart anything. I can only serve where I've been asked to serve. And I ask that you will find things in the scriptures that we looked at today. You will find things that you can plant in people's hearts, and you talk to them the way you want to talk to them. Just keep them this week until we're together next time. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys. See you next week. Bye.